shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
This is a Triple M footy news update.
This is massive, this story.
A little exclusive.
With Tom Brown.
Wednesday, the 4th of August, which means it's time for another edition of Triple M footy's news update with Tom Brown. My name's Rudy and I've got Tommy here. We're going to chat Hawthorn, we're going to chat Carlton and plenty more. But Tommy, let's kick off with Jack Viney.
Yeah, the tribunal deemed 2 weeks for Jack Viney last night, guilty of serious misconduct. Jack sought to reclassify his testimony later in the hearing, which is a bit farcical, according to those that were there or listening, obviously via the Zoom. Jack said it was more a show of defence. I didn't want to get rolled over and him, that's Collins, to be on top of me. The AFL Council described that as nonsense. So it's 2 weeks. You'll miss games against West Coast and Adelaide. The debate this morning, given its serious misconduct, whether the 2 weeks was enough, particularly given the fact that it was an ugly look in Patrick Dangerfield's words for the game. Obviously, Viney's got a pretty reasonable record. He's a good person. But it was a bad look. 2 weeks. Should it have been more, Rudy?
I think it could have been more. I'd have thought that if you find someone guilty of serious misconduct, maybe you go a touch harder on him than that. But 2 weeks at this time of year is a big sanction. He'll miss games against West Coast and Adelaide, but he'll be back for the round 23 game against Geelong, which could be a preview of things to come a little later in the year.
Rudy, very straight and very impartial just for our listeners, but he does barrack for the Cats. I think he's a bit dirty that it wasn't 3 weeks.
All right, Tommy, let's move on from my Geelong fandom. Let's talk Hawthorn. Jeff Kennett is under a bit of pressure here. There's a lot of chat about him possibly resigning.
There is some chat about him resigning. I'll get to that discussion shortly, but this was Lee Matthews, and when Lee talks, people listen. This was Lee Matthews addressing the Hawthorn issue on 3AW last night.
So I just wonder whether Jeff even... He's a smart man, Jeff. I'm a fan of Jeff. But I kind of think he voluntarily might have signed his own presidency death warrant, and I think he probably knows that in a way. So I suspect that might be something that will happen as time goes on.
So John Pirrick from The Age has reported there is a group of supporters online that have engaged the Queen's Council to look at the constitution, the Hawthorn constitution, in regards to whether they could get rid of Jeff. I don't know about the status of how that's tracking. In terms of that, Jeff Kennett did respond to The Age yesterday and said something to the effect of, tell them I won't be losing any sleep. I won't be losing any sleep. Anyway, in regards to the board issues, I've spoken to Jeff Kennett this morning. He doesn't want to buy in and sort of add fuel to the fire just at the minute in terms of what he can add. But he said there's no board issues whatsoever. It's a new day, he told me. We just get on with the day, he said. So there's no issues from Jeff's perspective there. But Lee has got a point. I mean, Jeff's been a vocal critic of clubs wasting money. And he's been a vocal, supporter of the soft cap. And it's fair to say that Hawthorn has stuffed up Clarkson's exit. They clearly wanted him gone at a point in time. The issue was obviously around the payout. And it will put pressure on Jeff Kennett. But I think if anyone can withstand this type of pressure, it's Jeff, Rudy. I think it's water off a duck's back. As I said on Monday, Jeff Kennett telling me this morning, and for our podcast, I can tell you that there's no board issues according to Kennett.
Indeed.
It's not to say there might not be issues coming from external supporters or members, but there's no board issues.
Yes, indeed. One to watch there. Speaking of board issues and off-field dramas, let's move on to Carlton. Tommy, what's news there?
Carlton's got a headache, Rudy. I'll try and dissect this quite simply. They're about to announce the conclusion or end of their football review. I think the incoming president, Luke Sayers, will front that football review findings, and I think it will see David Teague part company with the club. That's my view at this stage. In the background, you've got Mark Le Goudache, is the current president, has proposed some constitutional changes. Now, at this point, I'd usually yawn and say, oh, that's all very interesting, you know, some nice constitutional changes. There's a catch. There is a supporter. His name is Vince Losciano. He's a longtime former president of the Carltonians, which is their most influential coterie group. He holds a lot of weight. He's a life member of the club. He's got a close personal relationship with Mark Le Goudache. He's cast that personal relationship to one side and wants to delay the vote on these constitutional changes and also wants to unseat the board. He wants to have an EGM and a new board. Now, he's got to go and collect the signatures, and a lot would have to go right for him to do that. But my point is, this is terrible timing for the club at such an important point in regards to these football changes. And it's an absolute headache for Carlton bosses, because under the Carlton constitution, he only needs 100 signatures to cause all this absolute chaos and havoc. So my point there is that Carlton's changes they've proposed are basically in line with what Hawthorn did to extend Jeff Kennett's maximum term, what Richmond did to extend Peggy O'Neill's maximum term, the 5% for the EGMs in line with the Corporations Act. I don't think they're contentious changes. Plus, Luke Sayers has done a lot of work for the club. He's a heavy hitter. He's got his own massive consultancy firm. He was the former boss of PricewaterhouseCoopers. He's a pretty heavy-hitting president. So I don't know why. It's not in Carlton's best interests at this point to be upsetting the board. I wouldn't have thought. That's my personal view. But there is a little bit of chaos, or quite a degree of it, at Carlton because of this constitutional issue, the vote issue, the board issue, overlaid, of course, with the fact they're about to announce these massive changes to the football department. You could aptly describe it as a mess. They need to sort it out.
Can we back over the 100 signatures thing?
Yeah, so under the Corporations Act, you need 5% of eligible members to call an EGM. But what takes precedence is the existing constitution, and the Carlton constitution only requires 100 signatures. Now, Carlton's seeking to amend that to 5%, but Vince, at the moment, because the change hasn't taken place yet, could cause an EGM with only 100 signatures. So I presume that's what he's working on. I'm trying to talk to him again today.
It's a fair few less signatures than 5% of the membership, isn't it?
Boy, true. Oh boy. And keeping in mind, of course, that over time when these constitutions were made, Carlton had a few thousand members, presumably back in the day, but now they've got 80,000 members. Let's call it 60,000 fully paid up ones, or 50 or 40,000.
Whatever it is.
100 is not many.
Yeah, whatever it is, 5% of it is a much larger number than 100. Let's move on to on-field matters. Tommy, Adam Treloar likely to return for the Dogs this week.
He spoke on Fox this week, cleared to play this week. That's 11 weeks now after his syndesmosis. Treloar at one point, and the Bulldogs said, he was fearful he wouldn't be able to come back this season. So Patrick Dangerfield spoke about that on SEN this morning, just about the syndesmosis injury. It can obviously be quite traumatic in the sense that I think it's your tibia and fibula. Or tibula and fibula. Well, I don't know how you pronounce those bones.
The two leg bones.
Yep. Just for anyone that wants to give you some direct Twitter feedback. They separate. They put a little band around them. And obviously it'd be quite painful at points in time in terms of your recovery. Treloar thought his season was over, but now he's been cleared to play. And great news for the Bulldogs this weekend.
Yeah, that is great news. Because they actually, despite the depth of their midfield, they actually did appear to miss him to me, Tommy. And before we go, I just want to chat about GWS's injury list.
Yeah, bad injury setback for GWS this morning. I mentioned on Monday that Davis had concussion. So Davis and Hopper both have concussion. Canelio quite possibly out for the season. He's got this toe problem off the back of his foot problem. Green, who played last weekend, has got a hamstring. Reed and ankle. So that's four out for this weekend at a critical time in their season.
Wait. When you say Green, you mean Tom Green, not Toby Green.
Tom Green.
Yep.
He's a good player.
I thought that was worth clarifying.
Good call, Rudy. Good call. The other interesting story doing the rounds today is, and I don't usually discuss betting plunges on this show, but it's salient important in the context of Collingwood. Don Pike now the unbackable favourite for the Collingwood job. Now, make of that what you will. I don't subscribe to betting theories, but my point would be that it looks like Brad Scott and Don Pike are in a race for the Collingwood job. Brad Scott has the option of the footy manager role at the AFL, Steve Hocking's old job. They might divide that up slightly, but that's essentially the job that he'll perform at the AFL. So Brad Scott's sort of got a bit of a choice on his hands at this stage. He could also apply for Carlton if and when I expect that becomes available. So Don Pike, I need to track him down today, Rudy. I need to go and speak to Don. He's a man of few words. Find out what's going on.
All right, Tommy, I'll let you go and do that. Good luck with that. Thanks for coming in. We'll see you Friday morning.
Can't wait.